What's up, people? I want to welcome you to another live show of the Hakimian Show. And today we're going to be talking about a real important topic. And that is, does socialism, communism, or this new movement of democratic socialism, does it align with the Christian faith? Now, I'm not here to promote any political party. We're here to talk about ideas. Which ideas work in light of the Word of God and Scripture. So I'm hoping that this can be a challenging and encouraging and inspiring session. And if anyone out there disagrees, I'm very open to hear your views, to get your feedback, and to hear your disagreements. And my prayer is that all of us would be inspired and enlightened as it comes to not only Christian thought, but how Christianity applies to social and political thought. Now, I wrote a blog today called Why Democratic Socialists Don't Hold to a Christian World View of Blessing. And my argument is really simple, okay? Jesus said that the road to eternal life is narrow. I'm paraphrasing, but the road to destruction is wide and many walk on it. And you can find that, and I'll share my screen here. You can find that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." So that was Jesus. So what's the point that Jesus is making? Is that he's saying that a lot of people walk on a wide road of self-comfort, self-pleasure, and gratification that deals with this world. But the road to heaven is narrow, and only few people really find it. And this is a challenge to us as Christians. Are we walking on that narrow road? And that narrow road is the road of the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and God says he'll take care of all of our needs. And that narrow road is a road of obedience. It's a path of obedience. And the scripture is very clear that God calls us to this. So based on such statements from Jesus, it's evident that only a few people in and outside of the church make it to eternal life and experience God's total blessings. There's God's general blessings where he gives sun and rain and opportunities. And then there's God's specific or special blessings. And you can see that throughout scripture. And I'm going to show you some of the verses here today in this podcast, in this videocast. These special blessings come about as acts of obedience. Okay, so Jesus is saying that only a few people are obedient to God and really obey God in the totality of their lives. And of course, this totality is obedience in the issue of marriage, obedience in parenting, obedience in our work ethic, obedience in the way we pray and we parent. Again, none of us are perfect. But Jesus is saying there's only few people that try to be mature, which is synonymous with the word perfect that he uses. And I used to believe that everyone should be blessed by God, by parents, by society in the same way. And that's what we call equal outcomes. Everyone should be blessed the same way. But life teaches you, and many of you guys know what I'm saying, because you are parents, or you've been children who are under parents. You've been in school, you've been at work. That not everyone in the real world, whether it's communist China, or it's Jamaica, or here in America, or Liberia, where I was born, West Africa, is going to be blessed the same way. Okay? Meaning, not everyone's going to take advantage of opportunities. Not everyone's going to learn the skills and the disciplines that's needed to be successful. Doesn't matter how much equal opportunity you create, not everyone is going to take hold of those equal opportunities, but probably everyone is going to cry out for equal outcomes, which is blessings, right? Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, meaning, why can't I get into heaven? And he said in Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That is, you people who lived in rebellion towards me. You didn't obey me. You didn't take me seriously. You didn't follow my commandments, but yet you want my blessing. So again, Jesus never promises equal outcomes unless you are a universalist who believes that everyone is going to get to heaven. Hitler, the most grotesque rapist and child molester who doesn't repent, who doesn't confess their sin, it doesn't matter to you. You believe everyone's going to get to heaven. Well, that's not the gospel of the New Testament. That's not the gospel of Jesus. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The New Testament is full of conditions. And the greatest condition the New Testament has is one of faith. So I no longer believe that God wants to bless everyone in a unique, special way, because not everyone is seeking God's blessing and favor and grace in their life. I no longer believe that disobedient, lazy, sinful, stubborn people, and just so you know, in this world, we have lots of them, and I'm one of them, right? I'm a sinner, and I recognize that I struggle with my sin. And really, the only way to overcome sin is to confess it, to admit it, to take it to God in prayer and say, God, forgive me, change me. So I can say that these descriptions I'm giving about society, I'm not exempt. I'm also a sinner. I'm also a crab in the bucket trying to crawl out. But God can only change and help people who confess their sins, who admit their problems and their sinfulness. So the reality is not everyone who's lazy and disobedient and sinfully stubborn will be blessed by God the same way. And they will definitely not be blessed at the expense of the righteous and the humble and the wise, the man and the woman who takes God seriously. God never does that. And it's not right for government to take control of charitable causes, charitable institutions, private enterprise, and every single type of institution in our world, like China. China, the Chinese Communist Party owns everything from the soil to every single company to every single educational organization. That is socialism. Okay, just so you know, communists and socialists are really not any different. Okay, there's different levels of socialism, there's different levels of communism, but at the end of the day, it's a government that says we'll control everything to take care of people. But the problem, and we see that here in America from African American slavery, is that government can be controlled and will be controlled by evil people at different times. So imagine if they have a constitution that gives them all power over religion, property, education. And this is where the democratic socialists want to take our country, our nation. And this is where they want to take us, folks, with the promise that they're going to take care of the poor. They're going to take care of seniors. They're going to take care of immigrants. But remember, as a Christian, when Satan comes to you like he did to Eve, he doesn't come offering you punishment and pain. He says, look, if you do this, you're going to be blessed. That's what he told Eve. You're going to be just like God. You're going to know good and evil. You're going to know everything. But nevertheless, God had told him, don't eat from this. And God, throughout Scripture, tells us, you're responsible to cooperate with me in order to be blessed. If you don't obey me, God says throughout Scripture, God says you're going to be cursed. So to give government control over all these institutions in order to take care of the least of these in our society is a dangerous path. Very dangerous. Local leaders, first of all, are the only type of leaders that can ever solve local problems. So to give a federal or state government all power, where they take care of everything, okay? And this is where socialist Democrats want to take us, is a very dangerous path, and it's an inefficient path. It's never worked. Almost every socialist country has fallen into great problems, like Russia, what Venezuela is going through right now, like Cuba, okay? Because government people are not efficient. They're not good at delivering products and services. They get lazy, they get powerful, they get fat. And just look at all the government-ran institutions in our cities and counties and states right now, from the DMV to public hospitals to public schools. They're very inefficient because there's no stakeholders. No one owns it. No one's competing against you because government takes out the competition. They don't allow private enterprise to compete. And if we become a Democrat socialist, there will be no more competition. Because what makes pizza stores, pizza shops and retail stores and cell phone companies lower their prices and to offer more products and services and add-ons is the fact that they're competing. When you remove competition, people don't play the basketball game well. In fact, the scripture says that if people don't work, they shouldn't eat. And I'm going to show you a passage right now. Okay, I'm going to share my screen. It says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says to the church of Thessalonica, "For when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." That's what Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, and you find it throughout scripture. That if people are not willing to work and contribute, meaning people who are capable, right? I get it. People who have mental health issues, who have physical disabilities, we should figure out ways to take care of them. Widows, orphans, kids who've been abandoned. Okay, but this is not what Democrat socialists are saying, because everyone believes that. What they're saying is complete delivery of services through government-controlled institutions. And ultimately, they want to remove all competition. So here's the reality. The scripture says, if a man does not work, he shall not eat. And what the Bible teaches us is that our hunger and our pain that's created by sin, God uses to bring us to repentance and change. I became a Christian 25 years ago because of the pain of my sin. I was sitting in the LA County jail after 4 years of being incarcerated. I finally got tired. But thank God for police officers. Thank God for jail. Because it was those institutions of judgment and justice and retribution that God used to awaken me. So it's okay for people to go hungry, to be homeless. Men who are out there drinking downtown Skid Row in LA and downtown Miami, and they're getting fat. I mean, we used to go out there and feed homeless people, and these guys would be drinking all night, and they had big old bellies, and they're walking and laughing and joking. And I said, you know what? I'm not doing this no more. I want to only help people who are sincerely, mentally, or physically disabled. And thank God we have so many institutions to help them. But understand that God uses discipline to change us. And I'm going to show you a verse right now in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says in verse 5, "And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? And if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. So the writer of Hebrews is saying is God disciplines human beings who are disobedient. So not everyone deserves equal blessings, because there are many people, and we already established the fact that Jesus said the road to destruction is wide. There's many people who walk on a wide, lazy, stubborn path with God. And God is the foundation of blessing for individuals, for families, and nations. So when people are not obeying God, you know, we have on our dollar bill, in God we trust. When we're not obeying God, there's no way for us to be blessed. And it's false for government politicians, for pastors, for anyone to promise equal outcomes, equal blessings to everyone. It's impossible. Even when they promise it, they can't deliver, because there's too many variables in this planet. So the reality is that God disciplines and he withholds blessings from people. And you see this throughout Scripture. In fact, I'm going to show you another verse in James chapter 1, verse 25. Look what James says. James chapter 1, this is the half-brother of Jesus. He says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, the word of God, that gives freedom, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." They will be blessed in what they do. Notice that. Who's blessed? It's men and women who do and obey the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. And if you don't obey, you're going to be cursed. So the democratic socialists promise equal blessing to everyone. And that's not possible, because there's a lot of people sitting on their behinds waiting for something to come to them. Now, what we should be fighting for is equal opportunity, that everyone can have a path to get a loan, to buy a home, to start a business, to move into a neighborhood, okay, based on the same merits, the same criteria, race, religion, gender. None of it should have anything to do with it. And I will even submit to you, as someone who doesn't believe that same-sex cohabitation is a blessing to God. God doesn't look favorably upon it. But yet homosexuals, lesbians, it doesn't matter what your sexual orientation, should be protected and have access to civil rights and access to things that they need in order to flourish as human beings. With the hope, me as a Christian, I have a hope that homosexuals and LGBTQ people would come to repentance and walk with Jesus Christ. But even if they don't, I need to respect them and fight for their dignity and for their rights as a Christian. Because that's what Jesus did to people who were not Jewish, people who were Gentiles. He cared for people. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him." God gives an opportunity for everyone to change, but even in the process, he loves everyone the same, but he blesses people differently. And that blessing is based on faith and obedience. So the reality is that God speaks to communities and individuals that if you don't obey me, I'll curse you, and if you follow me, I'll bless you. We saw that in James. We see it throughout Scripture. He rewards individuals in group obedience, okay? A healthy group is nothing more than individuals who come together and decide to do the right thing together, okay? So God will bless you individually, and God will bless you corporately, okay? He blesses some churches and families and institutions more than others, because those people got their act together. Together. That's what makes successful basketball teams. They play the game better together. And it's okay. We learn from people who are doing it better. Okay? And so in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 2 to 4, and I'm going to turn there right now, it says, God said to the Israelites, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. So God is like telling us throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews, I believe, chapter 4, I want to say, but I could be wrong. God is immutable. He does not change. And what God is saying is that I will bless people who are passionately pursuing me and my word and my commands in their life. And if you don't, you won't be blessed. And so even children, we see in Scripture, can escape the curse of their father's sins or their mother's sins. No one is held hostage to generational curses. No one is held hostage to families, and no one is held hostage to parental sins. God says, look, if you're a child and you see your parents sin and you get your act together, I'll bless you despite your parents. And I'm going to show you the verse. It's in Ezekiel. I'm going to bring it up right now. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 14 through 19, it says, but suppose the son, this son has a son who sees all the sins his father commits. And though he sees them, he does not do such things. Verse 15, he does not eat at the mountain shrines or look to the idols of Israel. He doesn't become a pagan. He does not defile his neighbor's wife. He does not oppress anyone or require a pledge for a loan. He does not commit robbery, but gives his food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. He withholds his hand from mistreating the poor and takes no interest or profit from them. He keeps my laws and follows my decrees. He will not die for his father's sin. He will surely live, but his father will die for his own sin, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was wrong among his people. Yet you ask, why does the son not share the guilt of his father? Since the son has done what is just and right and has been careful to keep all my decrees, he will surely live. So that's Yahweh speaking. And God is saying, look, I don't care what your mom has done, what your cousins have done. I don't care what your race has done. I don't care what your island has done. It does not matter with me. The Bible says that God shows no favoritism. He's not a respecter of persons. He does not care. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Not only can governments not collectively bless people the same, equal outcomes, but they can't judge people the same. Equal retribution, equal judgment. People are individuals. And that's why with our present system, where you go to court and you stand for your crimes, especially as an adult, you're responsible for your path to blessing. And this is what they meant when they said in the Constitution or in the Declaration of Independence, we have a right to, our pursuit of happiness is our ability to pursue our vocational calling, our responsibilities in life that lead to happiness. Happiness, chasing happiness within itself will never make you happy. But being responsible and being faithful to who you are will bless you. So again, I want to warn you today as a Christian, stay away from democratic socialists, from communists. Okay? Look at China and what they're doing. And just so you know, no one will ever just give you things to bless you, except for God and really pure-hearted, righteous people, without them requiring something from you. Satan offered Jesus the world, but he said, you must worship me. And Jesus responded in Luke 4 and said, no, you shall worship the Lord our God and serve him only. No politician, no pimp, no man is going to just take care of you from cradle to grave and not require, like they're doing in China, that you worship the political party, you worship the political leaders, and that you put human beings above God. Folks, I'm sorry, but our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, says that our rights come to us from God, our Creator. And if God gives us rights that all of us have inherently, then He also has responsibilities for us as individuals and as a collective citizenry. And we must obey Him. We cannot become slaves of anyone, anyone, not our parents, not our spouses, anyone. We need to be autonomous, free human beings that love God, experience His grace, and have the ability to love others and to serve our fellow human beings out of our own will, our own unique callings, and our own availability and capacity. And that type of freedom makes human beings flourish. So God bless you, and I want to encourage you, if you're not a Christian, to turn to Christ, to turn to Him by faith, walk with Him. The Bible says it very clearly. The wages of sin is death. The price of your sin that you commit every day and I commit in my thoughts, in my attitudes, and my actions means that I deserve to die once physically and to die a second time, which is spiritually. And all of us are going to die physically, and the choice of you dying spiritually, being sent to hell, is your choice. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but here's the catch, and it's beautiful. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God. God is offering you and I a gift. I received that gift 25 years ago, sitting in the LA County Jail. You can receive this gift today. Sooner the better, because tomorrow is not promised, and you may step into eternity tonight. Nevertheless, that gift is available to you, and God is asking you to receive it by faith, to trust Him, to walk with Him, to start reading the Bible, to find yourself a good church in your community that teaches the Bible, that believes in the Trinity, that believes in the authority and the inerrancy of the Scriptures. That means they believe the Bible is without error. God is calling you to be His follower, to experience His love, to experience His power, to experience His peace, to experience His joy, and experience His plan for your life. God sees you. God knows you. God loves you with all of your strengths and weaknesses. And He's the only politician and king that we can worship. Everyone else is going to fail us, from George Bush to Bill Clinton to Barack Obama to President Trump. They're all sinners. And if they don't repent as presidents, they too will go to hell, based on the teachings of Jesus. And so God is speaking to all of us as humans. We must repent. That means we must turn and yield and surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. So again, I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you to do that, because God loves you. And again, He wants to pour out His blessing upon you. But you must come to Him by faith and allow Him to empower you by His Spirit so you can live the Christian life. With that said, God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon. Peace.